Daytime Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, has Prospect Park shelved All My Children? Bill kicks Brooke to the curb on The Bold and the Beautiful. Jack and Jill team up to go after Chancellor on The Young and the Restless. Heather reveals a secret at Franco's opening on General Hospital. And Victor proves the internet isn't the only place for porn on Days of Our Lives. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Jamie Giddens, welcome.
Hey.
It's been a long time. We've missed you.
It has. I'm doing a little extra writing on the side, so I'll still be popping in from time to time, but I know y'all keep it wild and woolly when I'm not here.
Jillian Bowe, welcome.
Hello, little car.
And Melody Akles, welcome.
Hey, hey.
Well, let's kick things off by talking a little bit about Prospect Park. Michael Logan tweeted this last week that...
You and these alliterations. Park. Anyway, go ahead. Peter Piper picked a pick a pick of pickles.
Michael Logan tweeted the question this last week, is Prospect Park shelving All My Children too? I'm hearing a big announcement is planned for Friday. Now, Friday came and went. I'm apparently missed the announcement if they made it, but the question is still remains, is Prospect Park shelving All My Children?
Morgan, look, Angela made the announcement. So, these poor actors. The cast and the crew, we always think about the actors, but the crew members too.
Yeah.
So many people, that have dedicated their lives to this. And, I'm not going to fault them. I'm not going to fault Prospect Park because of the situation. Shows get canceled all the time, but I do have to say it feels like from the beginning, these cats never had their shiznit together on any real tip. And, they're too busy suing ABC, basically claiming that One Life to Live's success or failure hinged on the deaths of three characters.
Yeah.
Yet All My Children was in good shape. They were going to focus on the one that was doing well. Now here comes this. And, I just feel bad for the fans and for the... I feel sorry for the actors and the cast and crew. I feel sorry for the fans, but in a way I don't, because this is how I feel about the fandom of the whole situation. Soap fans were blessed to have these shows for over 40 years. Not everything lasts forever. Maybe, just maybe, let's let it go. Let's just let it go. If this was my grandmother and the doctor just kept on, we found a new tube to stick in her. Do we really want the old girl to stick around? Of course we would if she was still able to be spry and make peanut brittle and cuss at the grandkids. But if she's just going to be flat on her back to a bed, drooling, really, maybe it's just time to let them go. Now, All My Children, I do feel like came back from the dead better than it had been in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. But I could have done without that last season of One Life to Live. And I just kind of wonder if these brands should be rested for about 5 years until, someone with some nostalgia, look what Johnny Depp did. Not that that's a good example because that wasn't a successful movie, but maybe some fanboy in 5 or 10 years becomes an actor and he's like, I've always wanted to do All My Children on the big screen or something. I just kind of think maybe it's time to just focus on the ones in daytime and prime time that are doing good and they're having great, because this is my fear with this. Oh, great. The moment Prospect Park sends out that press release, Deadline, Variety, all the mainstreamers are going to rush to write soaps are dead stories again. And that's not true, because General Hospital's ratings are doing better than they have in 5 years. Days of Our Lives, Y&R, B&B, all their ratings are up. Jillian reported that Y&R is up for a renewal again. Vicky Dummer has stated that she's a 30-year fan of General Hospital and she couldn't be happier with the state of the show. They're getting 8 Associated Press write-ups. Days is on fire with their porn weddings. the soap opera is not dead, but mainstream Hollywood will latch on to this story of these snake oil salesmen not being able to make money online with these shows and go, oh, they're dead again.
Well, let's talk a little bit about YNR. Jillian, as Jamie mentioned, you reported that YNR is this close. No one can actually see it since this is an audio recording. But she's getting picked up.
I think she will get the this close thing, though. But okay.
Jillian,
I think you act like that girl Jack and Erica raised on All My Children sometime. What's that one?
Lily.
You be acting just like
Lily. Jillian, what do you think of the possibility of...
It is going to be renewed. What you mean with the possibility?
Of it being extended and it coming through.
It is going to happen. Don't you read our blog? You the publisher?
It hasn't been officially announced.
It's going to... No, I'm just making it up. It's going to happen. They're going to renew it for 3 years. Like, from what I'm hearing, Jill Ferret Phelps is all like, I'm going to do the moonwalk. Like, she's all happy, but it's like, girl, that ain't because of you. You so vain, you probably think this podcast is about you. No.
And half the time it is.
No, it's not. Half the other time is about G.H. Ross and hello. But anyways, no, it's going to happen. I mean, you know, YNR is trying to pull it out there. I mean, yeah, you know.
Mel, you and I sort of bonded on Twitter over Jack and Jill teaming up to go after Chancellor, which, of course, had to involve a scene with Kane.
Okay, no.
Jill.
I loved it because it was right at the end of the episode. You know, Jill and Jack were talking, and Jill was like, I got a proposition for you. Let's take down Victor Newman and get Tesla back. And I was like, ooh, I like this. And Jack was all for it. And I was like, okay, I could go for this. Jack and Jill teaming up to take down Victor. Okay, this has potential. The next damn day, they invited Kane over. And they said, oh, Kane, we would just love for you to be involved. And I'm sitting here going, now, why do we need Kane in this storyline? Why is he necessary? We had two veteran characters trying to take down another veteran character over a business storyline.
You just answered yourself.
I I'm convinced he's just Genoa City's roaming STD.
No, y'all answered your own question, because I'm going to tell y'all what happens in all the soaps on daytime. I'm just going to tell y'all the truth about it. When these writers go into the network meeting, we've got this great story where 60-year-old character A and 60-year-old character B, they go, next! So they have to go back to the table and say, Kane and 60-year-old character A and 60-year-old, because that's, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, they're still slaves to 18 to 49. So,
well, I'm 18 to 49, and I do not want to see Kane every other day.
Your assistant is going to help pull in demos?
I would like to see Jill.
But you don't do them focus groups and stuff, because
loves her focus groups.
And yeah, and even before she got there, the focus groups they love them some Kane and Lily.
They love Kane and Lily like Halle Berry liked Billy Bob Thornton.
You did nobody fly no plane when Jess was gone out of mind. I love Jillian S. too, but Daniel got it rolling his neck said, when the last time Peter Bergman, they didn't fly no plane when All My Children told him, you don't play no doctor on TV, and in them commercials no more. But he said he got a plane flew after him.
Jillian, what did you think of the fallout from Delia being slaughtered?
It's playing out really well. The actors are saving it. We talked about this last time. The actors are saving it. Elizabeth Hendrickson, oh, Lord. I mean, y'all know Killer Miller is my dude. But she got me so conflicted. She got me all, you know, I'm so perplexed. I'm kvetching. I'm like, you know, 1 minute I'm like, oh, Billy didn't mean it. But then with Lizzie just like, you killed her. Then I'm like, you did. Billy, who puts a baby in the car by herself? But then I'm like, but the way they're playing, I'm like, damn, girl, my mom left me in the car. I didn't run my ass after no puppy. I sat in the back of that car. That's Delia's damn fault.
But, you know, they came through all of that at that by the time.
Yeah.
I mean, now she's, you know, they're bonded in there.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, this is what Jill does, though. She Jill Farrad Phelps, to get these storylines where she needs them to be, she totally makes people unfit parents. It's like Elizabeth, you know, on GH. Elizabeth is a great mom, and then all of a sudden, she's just letting baby Jake play down by the side of the road at night, you know, and it's like with Billy. I mean, you knew. These are wealthy white people in America. They do not leave their children in the car. Why they go in the stove?
Now they don't even get ice cream. They call Consuela and then Consuela go get the ice cream.
Listen, I'm convinced that between Victoria's inability to brush her own hair, their dollar store bed frame, that they don't actually live like they're rich.
That's
which
part
Jamie,
of the
I want to bring
that's
the, up
part of
something.
The problem because in the old days, this storyline never could have happened. It would have been Nikki. Miguel, how could you have let Victoria get out of the car when we sent you to the store with her? Because Nick and Victor, Jack Abbott, they didn't take care of their own kids back in the day. Each household on that show, except for the black folks. Look, Drusilla and Neil never had any help. But the Abbots, the Chancellors, the Newmans, they all had help. Nikki had a manny, a big strapping Mexican manny, raised them kids.
And Jamie, it turns out that we're not the only one who would like to see Victoria brush her hair.
I want her to brush her hair too.
And when I was reading that and she compared herself to Sarah Jessica Parker, I was like, I've watched Sex and the City. I've watched Sex and the City movie. And you, Amelia Hindley, are no Sarah Jessica Parker.
Terry Bradshaw's.
Okay. You know,
it's just like all those frat boys who had the bedhead look 3 or 4 years ago. Do you know how much money and product they spent to get their hair to look like they just got up out of the bed? Sarah Jessica Parker has messy hair, but it's always gorgeous.
And Amelia Hindley's hair looks like she's had a bad high job, forgot to dye the roots when it grew out. The roots when it grew out. And half of her hair is yellow and half of her hair is brown.
You should not admit your mama. Your mother said, girl, do you brush your hair? I would never put that in print. Never.
My thing of it is, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, it is, but it's like she's just being rebellious now. I'm like, they need to just tell her the same way you can stipulate in somebody's contract that they can't do a show on NBC if they own CBS. Her contract need to be written up to say, bitch, you gonna comb your hair.
Not only that, like if you don't want your hair combed, I don't know, they made these inventions called wigs. Slap a wig on that sucker and call it a day.
No, you gonna comb your hair. That's what I would tell if I was Jim Perry. Look at here. Don't you give no more interviews to Soap Opera Digest. Don't
See?
You come up
See?
In here.
You know what? I'm really disappointed that Frank is not running that show because you know Frank Valentini be like, I know you ain't coming on my set with that hair looking like that.
Get her back to hair and makeup all day.
Yes.
It would have been like, boo-boo. You know, because, and her hair did not, we've talked about this before, that started with Maria because her hair did not.
It did. On All My Children, she had flawless hair.
When Alin Marie was still there, when they were going through the strike, her hair was still looking flawless. And then when Maria came, it just.
What happened?
You know, mm-hmm. But anyway, you know, and I will give her this. Her acting has been very good in this storyline. I mean, I've really felt her.
Well, that's because it plays to her strengths of red eyes and fuzzy hair.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, she's great with this emotional pathos stuff, but she's not ball buster Victoria Newman. And she's been talking about that more in interviews. But that's the thing. I mean, and that's an executive thing, though. I mean, you decide to water down a character who we've been told since birth was the, you know, Victor Newman with the vagina to suit this actress's strengths. And it's like, why? I mean, I just don't get it. I mean, you know, it happens a lot, though. I mean, Jensen Buchanan did not play Vicki Hudson with the balls that Anne Hesh did, and they definitely made the character more of a romantic heroine. Laura Wright doesn't play Carly the same way that
oh my God.
The previous Carlys did. But, you write to, you can write, you can make a case that you'll write it to Laura Wright's strength because she's a good actress. So
let's talk about General Hospital.
But with Amelia, it's like, why write below? You know, different people play stuff differently. Robin Strassa did not play Vicky Rachel the same way that Vicky Windham did, you know, and that's great. But if it's somebody who's just going to make the character weaker, maybe you need to recast. I mean, I
Gina
don't...
Gina ain't got a job. Come on, go snatch my Gina Tononi up.
You know, I like Billy pairing for a while, but... it's like, that's not enough anymore.
You I'm know, like, I met Gina Tognoni in person, and I was like, you should have been Victoria. And she laughed. She's like, she's my friend. I said, and you need to tell your friend that you need to be Victoria.
Like the TLC biopic, what about your friend?
Jamie mentioned General Hospital, Laura Wright. Okay, everybody knows how much Franco annoys the hell out
yes,
of me. But
okay.
This last week at the opening, when he was admitting what he had done, the look between Laura Wright and Roger Howarth as Carly and Franco was epic. So much was said without a single line of dialogue. I loved it. Mel, what did you think of Franco's opening?
I love the opening. It was chock full of drama. I mean, who doesn't? We start off, let's talk about Carly. Carly about took Ava's head off when Ava was kissing all over Morgan. She was like, you all over my baby, and I'm not about to have this up in here. So they was getting to a cat fight. It was wonderful. I loved it. Those two. Marwes,
what about
Laura,
even before that, though, Mel? What about Franco telling Carly, Derek Wells is fucking your baby. he said, I think they're taking turns on him.
Oh, my God. It was
just so raunchy. I love it.
It was awesome.
Carly looked at him like, and then Morgan, you know, Morgan is so slow on the uptake. He's sitting there. He's like, what do you mean? We're together. And then when he realizes it, he goes, Mom!
Morgan makes me so sick. I'm sorry. Look, y'all know between he and Michael, I will take Morgan any day. But I'm sorry, bro, dude, homie, bruh. You broke the code. Forget the brother code, the father, you know, you broke the father and son code, yes. You broke the mom code. You don't ever rat on your compadres to the man. You ratted on your daddy. Oh, you need to be shot in your ass. Somebody
you do what you want in soap drama. Look what happened with the godfather. Didn't that Frito act up?
Frito.
Frida Pina, Frida Cologne, I don't know. What up?
Frida Kahlo. Yeah, I know. It's for good soap drama. My name is not Luke. Thank you. But I'm just like, Morgan, my Sonny needs to shoot you in your ass. Like, literally. When he finds you,
he told me to tell you, he asked his daddy for one thing. His daddy showed up and caught the Holy Ghost at his wedding party. I'm telling it! Sonny threw his hands up like a black woman at church.
Sonny pretty much went Dream Girls with I'm telling.
Sonny put his hands up. He said, I'm telling it. I am so loving G.H. Vince.
Oh, G.H. is amazing. And the thing is, when Heather revealed that not only is she Franco's mother, but that Scotty is the father, I was like, what the hell?
Oh, Lord, so Franco's so awesome. Going to have a porcupine haircut soon?
Well, he already has had some. That explains a lot on the hair tip.
Right.
But I'm just sitting here like, okay, Sarita Baldwin, somebody better tell Franco before he gets too cozy as a Baldwin that Sarita is the only one of them that made it, because Logan got snuffed out, Karen Wexler got snuffed out, Franco might better be like, I'm good with being out.
Sarita took her billions from Dominique Tom and said, bitches, I'm out.
Yeah, Sarita don't even, that's how she stays alive as a Baldwin child. She don't even come to town. She's like, I'm good.
Now, Mel, let's go back a little bit to the other portions of it. What did you think of how the whole revelation about the paintings all being a sandwich from Kelly's came out? And what did you think of Diane's trying to cover their asses?
BLT! It's a BLT! I love it. It's so good. Like, it's so campy funny, but fantastic drama at the same time. I loved everybody.
BLT.
That was
I screamed at my TV. I'm not gonna lie. Soaps haven't made me scream in a long time. When Hannah Webber said, Rob, I rewound that 5 times because I'm like, the ghost of James E. Riley is sitting up in heaven going, hell yes, Rob.
It's so good, though. Like, I just loved it. Hell, that her BLTs.
And Halloween, we can't leave out Halloween. Or did y'all talk about that last week?
No, we didn't record last
week. Scott as Beetlejuice? Dead.
Faison and Ulbrich and, you know, when they got back, when everybody got back, they're like doing crossword puzzles and coming up with evil names for villains. It's like,
want some candy, General girl. Hospital has been stellar.
Want some candy, little girl? I said, Lord, you know, I'm not going to lie. I said it on Twitter, and people don't get it. You know, people can't. I'm like, y'all, do I need to break out a paint by numbers for y'all? What? I said, you know, Faison under Ron, Faison has gotten some new life. He's gotten some airtime. But I also feel like he's getting the Carlo Hesse treatment. And when I said that, people are like, he's going to be Carlo Hesse. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, oh, my God, shut up. Just shut up. Get off my time. Like, get.
Like, even I know that that's not the case.
I was like, shut up. I was like, get. When I say that, I mean, before Ron, Carlo Hesse was the baddest mob and mob boss in Landview. He did not play. After Ron, he became a little campy, wampy, a little cartoon.
Oh, come on. That's Ron's greatest strength.
Okay, if you would let me finish, please, sir. I'm not saying nothing's wrong with that. I'm just saying. I'm saying I'm getting the same vibe as that with Faison. I mean, when Faison started rubbing up on Albrecht's face, he was like, my love or something. She just starts swatting his hair like, get away, Faison!
Ron realizes what I always realize as a soap fan. You don't see this a lot on these message boards, especially with GH, because I see these people getting so mad about their super spies not acting like they used to. And I'm like, it was always campy. Whether it was written as campy before, it was always campy that Super Spies descended upon a town in North America, in New York, to battle out their spydom. Okay. I mean, even when it wasn't written that way, it was still kind of crazy. And I think Rod just embraced it.
Because you want to know how campy GH used to be back in the Bay, and I'm going to day hear me saying Bay. Dang, sorry. And I'm going to use Faison as an example. Faison, to get Anna away from Robert, Faison hypnotized Robert into thinking that he slept with Anna. So every time he saw Anna in certain settings, he would get flashes of Faison and Anna in bed together when they never did a damn thing together. That is how campy GH is.
I had a friend who I will not name him, but he's an industry friend, and we were debating it and talking about, and I said, you know, because he was talking about the whole Faison thing, and I said, you mean like that stellar, realistic storyline where Frisco and Felicia and Anna and Robert raced against time to help an alien named Casey get back his crystals so that he could get back to his planet? I'm like, people have such revisionist history with these shows. Faison, I watched it on YouTube. I watched the whole little, you know, someone, thank you, fan, who put that on YouTube. Because sometimes I'm like, okay, let me go see. Was it more like Homeland? Or, because, you know, these GH purists will act like these shows were written with the spy game's believability of Homeland. And then you go back and you look at YouTube and you...
They would say it's all Argo.
You know, yeah, you go back and you look at YouTube and you see all of these people with a straight face talking about helping this alien get the crystals that Faison stole to get back to planet Lumina. It's always been campy. Ron just writes it with his tongue firmly in his cheek, as opposed to writing it like, I'm going to write this as straight as it can be. Yes, there are super spies who are really concerned with cops in upstate New York. I mean, he takes it and says, I am going to have as much fun with it, but I also think he does, you know, I always say he reminds me of Riley, but I think he reminds me of Riley first time on Days, not Riley on Passions, where it all just went crazy.
God, if Ron was Riley on Passions.
Ron definitely, he definitely can go to the moon. I think that's why he and Frank are a good team, because I think one of the magazines had a quote where Ron said he'd probably send Sonny to Mars if it wasn't for Frank, because Frank is there to be like, no, Ron, we're not going to do that. But, you know, I'm glad that there are people, because they're, you know, I remember this whole thinking fan movement a few years ago. It's like, what does that even mean? As if to say, if you're just a fan of the debauchery and the sex and the camp, that there's something wrong with your fandom if you don't only like things like, you know, BJ's heart and everybody crying, that you're not a soap fan. I mean, hello, there's been this genre has had a healthy dose of camp, and even the ones, the sacred cows, the Agnes Nixons and the Bill Bells, they wrote a ton of camp. I didn't watch the ABC shows back in the 80s, but I did watch Bill Bell. And anybody who ever saw Brenda Dixon and Jeannie Cooper in a scene can't tell me nothing about Bill Bell not writing camp. Hello, Catherine. She's not even looking at Catherine. She is looking at the sky. Hello, Catherine. What are you doing here, Catherine? You know, I mean, there was camp on all of these shows. Agnes wrote camp, too. There's a reason why every time Susan Lucci goes on a talk show, they don't show a clip about Erica's abortion. They don't show a clip about that woman talking about the Vietnam War. What do they show? Susan Lucci fighting a bear. I mean, come on, people. These shows have always been camp.
And her breaking that man out in the helicopter, yeah.
Exactly, the helicopter. Supermodel Erica Kane is to the rescue on a helicopter.
Jillian, what did you think of Robin's reunion with Little Emma?
Oh my God, it was so heartbreaking. But then, you know, the cynic in me was like, little girl, you don't know that's your mama with that big mole on her chest. Because she has the costume and the cape. And I'm like, Patrick, you should know that's your woman with that mole there. I thought they were going to say something about it or whatever. But I thought
they
it was
make Patrick so slow sometimes.
Yeah, it was so
as slow as he is, he's never going to be as slow as the guys on Days.
But I thought it was so heartwarming. And did y'all catch the little tongue-in-cheek thing with Emma and Sabrina dressed as what was the
Electro-Lemony Jack?
I didn't know who they were. I'm sorry.
Come here, I'm gonna hook you. Come.
I had to Google it, and I was like, oh.
Deidre Hall played Electro-Woman, and Jane Elliott used to guest star on that show. That's how they became best friends.
So I'm like, okay, if Ron them did a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge of Electra Woman, I'm like, are y'all trying to woo Marlena Evans over there on the low low?
Mm. Ooh, I would love it. Oh, she would be fabulous.
But who would they have her with? Luke Spencer?
Sonny.
No!
Sonny would soil Marlena.
Liz is mama. We don't never know who. We still don't know who gave birth to Liz. Here she comes, Doctor. Look, Dr. Lorlena Weber.
But she be paired up with Luke, though? I don't want Luke to paw her. No.
Listen.
No, you listen. No.
Sonny, I won't.
The Walking Dead should not get anywhere near Marlena for fear.
Stop talking about Sonny. Sonny is looking as good.
Oh, I was talking about Sonny. I was talking about Luke.
Oh, Luke.
Oh, Luke.
To Marlena because he'll suck all the moisture out of her.
Well, I know, you know, I like Tony Gear, but I'm tired of him and his grumpy interviews. If I was the executive producer and I said you was gonna reunite with Laura, well, dagnabbit, you'd reunite with Laura, or I would say that you were really Bill Eckert all these years.
Even well, I want them together, and I haven't been watching DA's in that long.
I actually want Luke with Tracy, to be honest, but I don't like that these actors ever get to decide who they're going to be with.
You know, that's what pisses me off. Like, okay, you know we've always said with certain actors, you know, they've known the characters long enough, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I only think you should do that if they have you doing something stupid. Like, if they have Luke Like, if they have Luke in the Asian quarter, like, I don't know, playing jacks or hopscotch with Sigmund the Duck before he is Peking Duck, then I'd be like, okay, yeah.
You
stupid.
Speak out when, like, look, Erica Slezak, you speak out when Dina Higley is turning you into a buffoon, but you don't get to speak out against the greatest super couple of all time. Do you not know that if it wasn't for that pairing, nobody would give a shit about you or Jeannie? I mean, it's just, you know.
That's why Frank should tell him, look at here, Tony, you have two options. This is the money couple. You either roll with this or roll your ass to Amsterdam and you can rock
it. Or, you know, if that's what the show wants to do, because maybe the show doesn't even want to do it, but I just don't like the fact that the actors get to, if I guarantee you right now, if Tony Goldwyn or Kerry Washington went to Big Shonda and said, look at here, we just not gonna play Fitz and Olivia no more. I guarantee you Nia Long would be Olivia Pope next season.
Nobody would watch it.
But Mel.
Says you.
You better hush talking about my Nia.
I'm sorry.
They wouldn't do that on primetime. But next thing you know, Olivia would have a cousin, Shoshana Pope, that would show up in town. And
Fitz get shot down somewhere on Old Decatur Road. Shut up.
Mel, I want to talk about Bold and the Beautiful this last week, because after everything that Brooke and Bill have went through, it took him almost falling off of a cliff to go back to Katie. Watching Bold and the Beautiful after watching General Hospital and Days of Our Lives was such a letdown. What did you think of it this last week?
Let me tell you something. I'm about sick of that dollar bill. Okay? I had all I can stand of that man. You sit up here and you left Katie for Brooke. You done told Brooke, oh, I love you so much. You love my life. I want to marry you. And then while you climbing up some random mountain in a foreign country, right, Jamie? In Aspen.
In foreign land. See, that shouldn't have had no business over there in overseas Aspen on a rock. See, you never catch me on no rock in the overseas world.
He climbing up some
the
overseas
rock. You gonna catch me on is the wrestler, the rock, okay?
And he almost falls off, and then he decides, oh, I've been living my life wrong, and let me go break up with Brooke to go get back with Katie. No, sir. That is not the way this works, and not in this universe.
Beautiful.
No.
And then when he gets back, he's basically telling her that the reason he should be with her is because she keeps him on the straight and narrow.
Because he wants a mama. I mean,
yeah,
that
exactly.
Was the most
it's
offensive.
Like,
Katie should be offended. You know, it's like,
absolutely.
Brooke lets me do everything I want to do, and I need somebody to tell me no. Oh, wow. So you want Katie to be your wet nurse. But I'm mad. I'm not mad about Dollar Bill, because I feel like that all is totally in character for him. Brad Bell, you know I love you. You're one of my favorites. But now I'm going to tell you something God loves. You got to go back and watch some of y'all old tapes, too, because I need the Brooke Logan who, when Ridge played her to try to get her to sign the patent to Belief over to the Foresters, even though he really wanted to be with Taylor, and then she unleashed the dragon with Connor and took their business from her. That's what I need. I need that jilted Brooke back, not this sad sack who is like, it's just inevitable. I just love the wrong man. No, bullshit. He pursued her and pushed her into this. And now, I almost fell off of a rock, so I'm going to go back to your sister. I need for the Logan women to team up and destroy.
Based on the previews, it looks like the Logan girls are going to do it because, you know, even Luke didn't like it. I love the Bold and the Beautiful because Katie pretty much told Bill, yo, go kick rocks. Go back on that rock and kick it, you bitch, you. She got a buck.
Why should I want you coming home smelling of
smell it
amazing. That
my
was so
God.
Amazing.
Kevin Tom shut it down and was like, I don't want you. Go back to Brooke. I was like, ooh, say it, sister. Say it. Trust me. Because I thought Katie, you know, the way Brad did a bait and switch on us, because all this week and all these months we've been seeing him, I want Bill back. Our family. So when this fool fell off that rock, I was like, I was so mad. You know, Twitter was hot because they was like, if Katie take him back, she a punk ass. And then when she lit into his ass like a Roman candle, man, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. foe. And those Logan sisters, based on the previews, it looks like those Logan sisters are like, Bill is up to something, and we're going to fix his pony wagon. So I hope the Logan sisters team up and shut that ass down.
You know, I mean, Brooke is definitely at fault. Katie is at fault. But I'm like, Bill, I thought Bill was different than Ridge. And that's why I invested in Brill. Because I thought, finally, we have a man who isn't just, I love you, Doc. No, I love you, Logan. I love you equally. I'm Archie from the Archie comics with scarves, and I want you both. It's like, I thought we finally had a man who was like, no, I don't want the frigid little frumpy mommy person. I want the sex pot. I ain't shame. I'm going to go to Je vous, wherever they be going to eat on Bold and the Beautiful. We're going to go to Je vous, voulez-vous, couche-va, and I'm going to take my hoe out and let the world see. But, you know, now it's like, oh, I almost fell off a rock, so I want you back. And I hate that when Ridge comes back, Brooke won't have a man. I want it when Ridge came back. I don't want just a straight up Ridge Brooke redux. I wanted Ridge to come back and see that Brooke said there is life after you. You know, and for Bill to do this, I'm just through with him. I'm through with Bill, and I'm going to tell you, they need to do a DNA test on Wyatt, because I don't believe he's his son, because he does not have douchebaggery. Liam is Bill's boy. He is a fickle piece of dog shit, just like Bill. But see, I don't know if Wyatt is his. Number one, Wyatt can't keep no jewelry. He done got that diamond stole. You know, Bill ain't never lost.
But see, that's the thing about the thing about that diamond heist. Like, if you compare General Hospital, the art gallery opening, and everything that transpired there, and then you compare the porn at in the church being played twice on Days of Our Lives to and how all those beats were played, and then you compare that to Bill's sudden transformation and then the dingbat jewelry heist where it's like, whoops, I just sort of stole this diamond, and then, oh, world-class jewelry thieves were in there at the same time. There's no nuance.
You're hitting it on the head, because it hit me today, because I've been happy with three soaps up until this last week, and then Y&R was just like, ugh. You know. Wyatt R is amazing acting, but I'm serious.
You're very ambivalent to it.
I'm not ambivalent. I get depressed watching it.
It's a chore to watch.
I want to ask my doctor to strengthen my back.
That is why I have fun watching Wyatt on Twitter, because I shade the hell out of it to keep myself
entertained. I mean, it's just like when it's to the point where I'm like, oh, God, I got to watch Wyatt on for this podcast. Mm-hmm. That is how I'm feeling. I have to watch.
Yep. Absolutely. Yes. Watching Y&R during the week is like consuming that freaking liquid the night before a colonoscopy.
You really need to let Jean Passanante bring whatever she, you know, whatever magic potion she brought with her from GH, and just sprinkle that all over this candy.
Well, she can't do that because the magic potion was the head writer, so sorry.
Well, Jean, no, I've heard Jean was a very integral part of that team. And
yeah. That team. I do not want to see Dylan. I do not want to see the McAvoy family, like how we saw the
I know what you're going to say, Janet and them. I would give my left nut to have the Chaconis over Dylan. Nikki's 50-year-old stray son. Oh, that's so dramatic.
I'm like, why y'all got Nikki with this?
Yeah, man, I like Janet Chakotay. I know you didn't like her, but I like Janet.
I love Janet.
As the World Turns wasn't terrible its last 5 years on the run. God Light was terrible. As the World Turns wasn't terrible. It would go into really, really bad, then it would be really, really good.
Yeah, I'll give you that. But
really, really bad was really, really Galvin. But, you know, I just really hope that they let her infuse some life, because no one wants to be depressed every day. Oh, dead babies, blind babies, oh, drunken whores who puke on their vodka so they make their daughters, their biracial daughters, grow up to be evil bloggers. Whoa, it's me, Catherine. Where's the puzzle piece Catherine left me to see who my mama is? That is the Young and the Restless. It's like, whoa, oh, Victor, I got the MS and I done had a baby by a in jail getting beat up. Oh, little Finn is gonna get raped in the booty. Oh, where? Oh, dear, dear, you where? There's the puppet. Somebody feed the puppet. Where? I'm sick of the Young and the Restless. It's so depressing. It's better than it was a few weeks ago, but that's, you know. That's the acting. It's so fucking depressing. Woo-hoo-hoo, dead Delia.
Okay, folks, for those of you who were keeping track of when Jamie was finally going to go off, he did. Yeah. Let's talk.
This is not angrily going off because the show is...
No, but you're speaking truth.
It's in better shape. It's in better shape. But the story that has it in better shape is so depressing. And... Ooh, Adam's cried again. Ooh, he ran that baby over. Why don't he just tell the truth? It was an accident. I mean, these stories make no sense to me. I mean, yes, it's great acting, but just tell that you accidentally ran the little baby in the road. It ain't a look. Couldn't nobody look.
No,
I don't
think, but like, I think
the worst lawyer who ever came through Genoa City could get his ass off of that because if I was
think so.
I would get up on the stand and say, Billy, you shouldn't have had that badass little girl in the middle of the road in the middle of the night. I'm not going to jail for that. I'm sorry.
No. If Adam had ran her over and immediately called the cops, he would have been fine. But that the fact that his ass, he didn't see her fine, whatever. He never called, and he's getting rid of the evidence.
But at the end of the day, counselor, that's obstruction of justice. That ain't murder. Because it was black night. She had on a black wig.
See, I'd be like, well, she ain't black, so how the hell you ain't see that lily white girl?
Let's talk about another lily white girl on Days of Our Lives, Kristen. Because her world imploded this last week. Days of Our Lives was amazing.
John Aniston,
Victor... is my hero. He is such a G.
He's a treasure there. They give him the funniest shit they show. Even though you're old, you can still have some one-liners. When that stupid Brady came up to him earlier this week and was like, you know, Jennifer broke up with Daniel. She's heartbroken. He said, oh, boo-hoo. Jennifer's heartbroken. He goes, oh, boo-hoo. She broke up with him. Go cry me a river. And then when he told Kristen, he said, Kristen has a tribute for me. He was like, is she going to give away false teeth for his party?
Oh, that was so awesome.
I was like, John Aniston.
They give him the lines of.
And when he asked to have the video replayed, the sex tape replayed.
Oh, no, let's back up.
Church.
We got to tell this in chronological order.
Oh,
they were up there. When they were up there at the doggone altar, and Lord, I love you, Eric Bonstoff. Eric Bonstoff gave me that interview, and he's like, Brady's not stupid. He's just in love. Baby, I love you, but Brady is stupid. Brady is a doofus. He's and Marlena! I never want Marlena at my bar mitzvah playing the electric slide because see, Marlena, look, the plug went in there. Marlena back there. And then she finally figured it out and she put that tape on and Marlena all happy. Then she looked at that curtain. You know, it's her pre-son. It's all of their reactions. No.
My favorite was Hope's.
Yes!
Like,
Hope nasty! Hope, you nasty! I saw you, Hope. You know that's your nephew. You done known that boy since he was a little boy. Hope leaned her head like, let me get a good look.
Like, she looking at him like, I'm with the wrong Brady.
I guess she was like, look at here. He's my nephew by marriage, but we ain't no kid. Jennifer's all.
Hasn't been laid in so long that smoked.
Jennifer was like, well, Hope, you're a cop. What are you thinking? And Hope is like, that ain't Photoshop, girl. That ain't Photoshop. That's penis. That's Brady. I know I'm Brady penis when I see him.
Is looking at that like, Eric.
Hope was sitting up there, look. All of a sudden, Hope is looking at Eric naked, and you can hear, tonight I celebrate my love. Now, I'm holding out for a hero to the end of the night. Hope is dry down there, because Bo Bingo. But, Kristen, nobody.
Brady is, or Eric is as constipated as Brady is dumb.
Nobody does shocking reveals at weddings better than Ollie Davidson. I was taken back to Crystal D'Souza's false teeth flying across that room in 1999. I'm like, thank you, Gary Tomlin. Gary Tomlin and Frank and Ron are the only people, and Greg B.
And Chris Lightfell, because he's a part of that, isn't he?
Yes, and Lorraine Broderick. They are they are the only ones capable of going into the soap's past and bringing it to the future and keeping it just as fresh and relevant, because I was just as entertained. I was like, I don't even need Vivian and Yvonne dressed as buffoons. I'm like, this was incredible! And Victor, when Kristen was like, obviously this is not true, and Victor was like, well, let's play it again, dearie. Let's play your name, sweetheart. And, oh, when they played...
Everybody in the church, all these good Catholics, agreed to watching a sex tape a second time.
Nothing that killed me. I'm like, Brady... Your brother was raped by Kristen, but you're going to punch him out. I'm like, you
didn't look like I raped him. You know, in Brady's defense, because he is a doofus, you know, Kristen gave him, you remember that drug, basically, it wasn't like the drug that Sammy did on Austin.
No.
He was able to halfway be there. And so you see Eric being like, ooh, I want that good. Ooh, give me that hot, stanky stuff. You know, so Brady is looking at it like, you didn't look raped to me. You don't get raped when you throw somebody on top of the bed. And, you know, so of course, I think, you know, he'll eventually realize that, you know,
Chris. He's a big dummy.
Oh, that was so good. And Sammy, that's what I love, because that was real life. Because, yeah, Brady's their brother, quote unquote. You know, oh, we're all stepbrothers and we love. But when he was punching on Eric, what's that? Yell out, get off of my brother! She let it be known quick who her real brother
was. Okay, that's her twin. That's her twin, Samuel. Cut for that boy.
That's what I'm ready for. I'm like, again, like, because, you know, with Brooke Logan, she's not acting like I need her to act. I'm like, Sammy, girl, I need you to stop crying. The Sammy I know would be talking to herself about revenge. I'm going to get Kristen before this episode is over. You know, because...
Yes.
But that's going to cause problems with her and EJ, because EJ
covered it up.
So he found out that his sister was raping folks and didn't tell nobody.
I need for Samantha Jean Brady to come out and play and just wreck shop on Kristen.
Oh, their wedding was so incredible.
There's a couple things, though, that are, like, the fact that Eileen Davidson is leaving. I mean, she's become, well, she is once again proven to be such an integral part of the show. And now, after all this, we're not going to be able to keep her around.
And I'm going to help Eileen's agent out, because I'm going to tell what people, well, we don't usually get into, but I'm going to get into it. I'd be damned if Tony Geary has some amazing contract in this game and Eileen Davidson don't. Sony, if y'all want her, y'all better come correct. Eileen, you are worth top dollar, girl. You deserve my to the knee. I'm going to tell you, hold out. Don't go back for no 3,000 episode and all that little mess they were trying to give you years ago at Wide. I heard about how they were trying to do you.
Mm-hmm.
That sister girl, you are everything, Eileen Davidson. If they want you, tell them you want Eric Braden money. I tell you the truth, because I'm going to shame the devil.
I don't care who gets mad on that set. She is worth every penny, because,
prove,
you know,
right for her, she will take your show to the top.
I mean, you know, we all know they have phenomenal cast members there, and other storylines were gangbusters, but she carried that show. She was front burner. She was in several different stories, so they need to give her what she is due.
Well, and before, as we wrap things up, the final topic is going to be Daniel covering for JJ, because I have not liked Dr. Harry Chest for a very long time, and I have not liked Danifer, but this last week in the post covering Daniel covering for JJ after Teresa OD'd, I've actually sort of just barely, just a little, started to like him again. And then he had some scenes with Nicole, and those were good scenes. It was like, is it possible that if when he's out of Jennifer's orbit, that I'll be able to actually start liking him again? Because it was enjoyable.
Well, look here. He don't have no real friends. He don't have no real friends. Because I hope when he and JJ, because we all know this is where this is going, he and JJ going to bury the truth, bury the hatchet. JJ need to take him to the barber shop. Nicole is his ace. Nicole need to take him to the barber shop. You know,
Cedric Tanner is waiting.
Sean Christian is hanging on to that surfer boy look as long as he can. He looks good in person, though. I'm going to tell y'all the truth about it. When I saw him at that Days event last year in
Atlanta,
I thought to myself, I hope this fine man don't know how much I hate his character on Days of Life. Because he's good looking, he has a sense of humor. But when they write him with Jennifer, they just stick a corn cob so far up both of their behinds. And Jennifer Horton is one of my all-time favorite soap heroines all time. Y'all know, because y'all always hear me talk about Santa Barbara and Other World. But
We almost made it.
No,
but I loved
this
my
podcast is complete.
I loved my Jack and Jennifer just as much as I loved my Another World and Santa Barbara couples. But it's like Jennifer has become such a sad wet blanket, and with that whole romance is so.
Yes,
she is a sanctimonious snob. Between the weight of her and Eric and freaking Rafe's superiority complexes, it's surprising that Salem has not imploded on themselves.
I'm kind of mad that Sammy didn't let Rafe little peepee get chopped off with his sanctimonious self.
And this happens on every show. The core family starts to become, and I know Luke will agree with this about All My Children because he felt this way about the Martins, but along the way, these writers forget that these characters were all characters who did good, bad, and ugly, and they start making the core family be saints. The Hortons were never saints on Days of Our Lives. Alice and Tom were saints, but their children and grandchildren were always, from the very beginning, well, if not the very, that first year, but from the moment Bill Bell's pervy mind took them over, they were hot messes. Bill raped his brother's wife. Tommy was in love with his baby sister, although he did have the amnesia, he didn't know. I mean, Julie was shoplifting and, you know,
punching the man that her mama was interested in.
No, her mama hunched her man, though. Yeah, that Addie was the hoe in that. I like Julie Mann. But, you know, it's like they were always debaucherous and scandalous. And then somewhere along the way, it was like, well, they're our core family, so let's just... I mean, even Aunt Maggie used to hoe around on Uncle Mickey. Aunt Maggie was hoeing around, you know. Aunt Maggie had her youngest girl by artificial insemination. And then it turned out to be Neil Curtis was that baby's daddy. So how come Aunt Maggie started having an affair with Neil Curtis and Sarah walked in on him? I said, dang, Aunt Maggie, you got the sperm through artificial insemination. I guess you decided you wanted it the old-fashioned way, too. You know, they always had the Hortons doing some hoish stuff. And, you know, and Jennifer was Jennifer was always kind of a goody-goody, but when she was a teenager, when she first came to town, she was a brat. You know, but she was a virginal brat. But, you know, they've put Jennifer, they've made Jennifer the sanctimonious bearer.
I like when that chick in that hospital reads her. Ooh!
It makes it so much better.
Yes.
I'm going to go to final thoughts as we wrap this up. Mel, final thoughts?
Watch Budget or Hospital.
Jamie.
My final thought is Y&R and B&B, y'all gonna have to bring it because Days and GH were thoroughly entertained this week.
Jillian?
Well, Y&R definitely has to bring it. I mean, what happened to that interview that those new writers said? They're gonna be more romance.
Well, I guess they said, they just got started.
Well, shit, get started on some romance. I want to see somebody getting thrown on some desk and just doing it well.
As long as it's not Kane and Lily yet again.
Oh, no. That's what the spoiler spoilers say they heat up next week. I'm like,
they've
been hot since Lynn Marie was around, and I'm just going to tell it like a T to the I to the ears.
A Tyler and Abby, there's that scorching.
Oh my God, they're so
hot.
Rhetoric
and Lily were actually hot, but no. Yes. We don't get to see that. We get to get him.
Did you call her Jill Farron F up?
And she they just get scared. They get scared to break up Kate and Lily. Kate and Lily can't look at no other people because they are just the most, that's the love of all time. They can't look at
I'm sorry. No. And I'm going to say this to Lane fans. If they can bust up the ultimate super couple, that is Luke and Laura, then they can bust up Kane and Lily's trifling asses.
I'm a Lane fan, and I don't remember anybody buying a hot air balloon.
I don't remember Kane and Lily putting on the cover of People or Newsweek.
I'm going to get my Photoshop out and make one of those covers right now.
On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Add us as a friend on Facebook,
facebook.com/DC.com.
We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
I'll buy a balloon and put Lane Confidential. Shut up.
Bye, y'all.
The hottest couple since Jimmy.